Hey, Jason Longshore, our guy. It is so good to see you, man. What is up, Jason?
Not much. The Mose is gone? I did not know this.
Mose, oh, yeah. Gone.
You haven't walked through that little area? They've, like, boarded off that entire side of the building.
You can't even go pee down there. You can't do the post office thing.
No, the ATM's over there. Like, we're just completely out of luck here.
When is this going to get back to normal?
Couple of years. 2022, they're saying.
Mose back in 2022? Or is Mose back soon?
I'm kidding. Hopefully.
2022 is the over-under.
Where are we? We're 2018. I don't think it will be completed in the calendar year of 2019.
Okay.
Me neither. The parking lot will be done by about the time that the World Cup is here.
And by the way, everybody, we're talking about Colony Square, Peachtree, and 14th in Midtown Atlanta. That's where we work here. That's where Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is, V103, WAOK, and all that. And Fox Sports is here as well.
They are.
And I'm sure the great people with Fox Sports have the same darn complaints we do about nothing to eat here.
By the way, real quick, we got to put up our Vision Computers Twitter poll. Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. What happens first? Georgia wins a national title or our parking lot's fixed?
Georgia wins a national title.
Yes, Georgia wins.
That might be this year, then.
Is that our Vision Computer Twitter poll?
Mark's tweeting that out as we speak. All right, Jason, let's get rolling. Atlanta United, another disappointing draw. I know Toronto was back to full health, and this is the best that they've played maybe the entire year. But to have a draw happen again in stoppage time, what went wrong to allow that goal to score to tie things up?
So that's been the recurring theme is, you know, another one. Really, let's go back and dig into it. There's been two games this season where you've had late goals given up that cost you points, like late goals.
Right.
You can say final 20, final 30 minutes, whatever. Last five is where I'm talking about late goals. Dallas, where you had a lead and you lost it. This one. And they're actually pretty similar because what teams did is they stretched the back line out a little bit. They opened things up. They had wingers out wide on the touchline. Got the back line stretched out, and then found passes through the gaps. And that's what happened against Dallas. That's what happened here. Giovinco gets in between the lines. Gressel and Vasquez both kind of hesitate, both step, don't commit. Giovinco's able to slip Jonathan Osorio through, and by that point, the ball's behind the back line. LGP's beaten on the back post.
Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John here. We do it every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Jason, you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, aren't you?
Nope.
You're not.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
He's got sense about him.
All right. Stop. You're not. Were you a Seinfeld guy?
No, I was not.
Okay. I mean, that
yeah,
that
kind of go hand in hand.
That computes. Yeah. They go hand in hand. All right. So I won't tell you my story about meeting Vivica A. Fox at Atlanta Airport on my way to Orlando on Saturday.
I saw your picture.
While Toronto scored that stupid freaking goal in stoppage time to tie that baby up. But let's talk about Joseph Martinez, man. For him to be one goal off the MLS season record with 10 games to go, can you even put it into perspective?
No. There's nothing to compare this to. I believe last night they were talking about best performance from an Atlanta sports athlete. I think Jeff Benedict had this on his show in a season. And I came down to Matt Ryan's MVP year, Greg Maddux 1995, where he had an ERA, run
like
better than second.
Yeah.
And Joseph this year. I mean, there's just no comparison right now. It's that good.
It's been amazing what he's been doing. What's the key to his success? Because you have to have a knack to be able to score goals like this, and he does it from all angles.
He's fearless. He's ruthless. You know, it's not like all of his goals look incredibly different. A lot of them, he's getting on the end of a header. He is making a run in the box, and it's a through ball. So it doesn't work without the team around him.
Sure.
You know, he's not a guy like Messi who's going to dribble past 10 guys and then score a goal. Joseph Martinez demands proper service to score these goals. He gets it from this team. It's a perfect fit. The movement off the ball is what he does. And it's so many. He has so many different ways he moves off the ball. The offside thing that we talked about earlier this year, sometimes he will hang back, let the play develop, pass him. Then defenders don't know where to find him. They can't pick him up. Now what you're seeing him do a lot more is dropping into the midfield to join into the build-up play, have a little 1-2, a little combination, then make that late run. Defenders just can't track him.
Interesting. Jason Longshore breaking it down with your boys, Rick and John, here on the home of Atlanta United. So we got a break here, so we're kind of talking about Toronto, and I want to talk about a couple of things that are worrying me about this team. Mental toughness. We've talked about it all year, off and on. You know, when they pound somebody, we don't talk about mental toughness. but there have been lapses. The whistle hasn't gone their way, and there's a mental toughness issue with how they battled through that. Also, you mentioned the sort of the collapse at the end of the Dallas match and a collapse of sorts at the end of the Toronto match. Do you think – I've asked you this again before, but I'm going to ask it to you again. Do you think our guys, our beloved Five Stripes, are mentally tough enough to win the MLS Cup?
I do. I think there's some of it that you just have to go through. And when you have a group that's played a year and a half, you don't have a lot of that collective history. But – this team, when they've conceded the first goal, that is usually, when you look at the numbers, we talked about it in the World Cup, that's just general. You score the first goal, you have a huge chance to win. Mm-hmm. This team, when they don't score the first goal, is 4-4-4. That's a pretty good record without the first goal. They do fight back in games. They have had these little lapses late. I think it's something that in this gap, in this 2 weeks, you can work on some different things defensively. Tata Martino talked about it. Do you want to see them stall more and get more cynical with wasting time and those types of things? That's one way to deal with it. I think Tata Martino wants to do it through his tactics. And I think you could see Toronto game, you saw a line of five at the end. The three center backs, the two wing backs down next to them, Gressel and McCann. But in front of that, it was a little unorganized. It was Remedy, it was Larenowitz. Vasquez dropped in there. He's not a strong defender. Probably should have been Miguel Almiron dropping in at that point. But a little more structure there in closing these games out. I think that's the kind of finishing touch for this team.
I have seen a lot of Atlanta United fans kind of up in arms with the substitution patterns of Tata Martino, especially late in games. Do you have any issues with the way he's been substituting late?
I don't, because I think what you see out of him a lot of times is he doesn't make a sub just to make a sub. And that's the issue. I think some people just want to see all three subs used and see them used early.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a fan of that. I like that Tata Martino lets the game play itself out. Saturday, he didn't have all of his weapons. You didn't have Franco Escobar due to suspension. You didn't have Mikey Ambrose, who's out 3 to 4 months. Zizo's out 3 to 4 months. He had George Bello, a 16-year-old, in the 18 for the first time. Chris McCann looked pretty gassed as that game went on.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a substitute for him. You didn't have a ready-made replacement for him, and you tried to ride it out. Remedy slid over to that side to give a little more cover. You just didn't have an option. And going forward, and that's something a lot of fans are talking about right now, today is the last day of the transfer window. It closes at 1 a.m. You probably need an outside back, mm-hmm. or you're making the decision that Julian Gressel, Andrew Wheeler, Aminu, George Bello, and maybe you get Greg Garza back is going to be enough.
Jason Longshore, you hear him with Mike Conte on the call of our beloved Five Stripes. There's a report. It hit 19 hours ago on MLS Soccer. I'm sure you saw it, Jason. It says Atlanta United talking with out-of-contract right back Bakary Sagna. Sanya. So is he a realistic option for us? You know what I'm saying? What do you know about him and his – You mentioned the window closing. Is this a part of that?
It could have been, but Sam Stejkal, who writes for MLSsoccer.com, he is your go-to follow today with all of the transfer window maneuvering.
So is this like the trade deadline for MLS?
Except it's a global market. Mm-hmm. So you've got guys like Sanya, who is out of contract right now, a free agent. You've got guys who you're trying to bring in on a transfer. You've got trades within the league. It's chaos at the moment. You're seeing a lot of teams make a lot of moves to try to prepare for the stretch run. Sam Stejkal reported that the Sanya talks, there really wasn't anything to it. And Atlanta had actually inquired about Brooks Lennon from Real Salt Lake, a young right back, which was a bit of a surprise because Lennon is a guy you could build around for 10 years. A guy out of Liverpool's academy mm-hmm. who came over to Real Salt Lake from that area originally.
So he'd be a big get.
He would be a huge get. And I was shocked that that was even a consideration. Real Salt Lake reportedly doesn't even want to have the conversation, which I can completely understand. But we kind of went into these last couple of days in the window thinking Atlanta would be looking for a veteran like Sanya. Maybe not. I think they're looking to upgrade the team. And if there's a move out there to upgrade it, Darren Eales and company are going to go find it.
We talked about Darlington Nagbe earlier, hurt, and then potentially maybe coming back towards the end of the season. Is he getting close? Is he a guy that you might see in the next couple of weeks, or is he still a ways out?
I think he's a ways out. Greg Garza is the one that I'm kind of wondering about. Maybe he's the first one of these guys who could come back. Joseph Martinez posted a video from training this week, and you saw Garza moving the shoulders around, looking pretty good in training, off the ball work. But how far away is he? And that's going to have a huge impact on if Atlanta has to make a move or not.
And I'm glad John went there because I'm worried. I'm really worried. We're not whole. Okay, we're the best team in MLS. When we have Nagby, when we have Garza, Ambrose, as you just mentioned, it's like every soccer injury is 3 to 4 months. It's driving me nuts. Could we get a 2-week injury up in here?
I'd love one of those.
You know what I'm saying? How about a 2-week
injury?
It's
how about
3 to 4 months.
That too. Yeah.
It's insane. So I'm worried, bro. Like, we have the best team in MLS. We have the best crowd in MLS. We have the best stadium in MLS. The best practice facility. On and on and on. The best owner. Like, it's all first class. It's all set up. Primrose Path. The one thing to me that could derail a championship is injuries.
Yep.
And are these injuries not impacting us in terms of our success on the pitch right now?
No, I think they are impacting it. I mean, you look at 48 points right now. You could have 55 pretty comfortably if things go well. The Nagby injury, I think you've handled really well. And Eric Rometty has slotted into this team, and he is a huge addition. Mm-hmm. Right now and going forward, I think, down the road a few years. Outside back is the question. Greg Garza was your starter coming in on the left side. He's out. Mikey Ambrose was your reserve. He's out. Sal Zisa was your reserve on the right side. He's out now. You've got some problems at outside back. I don't know how you're going to solve it internally.
Not Eric Rometty for a second. Mm-hmm. I've heard nothing but good things and seen nothing from good things about him. What has he brought to the team?
A little bit of a bite in the middle of the field, a little more aggressiveness in the middle. And we looked at him as a guy who would come in as a defensive midfielder, spell Jeff Larinowicz, maybe play Nagby's role a little bit, but in a defensive mindset like Carlos Carmona played it last year. Look at the second half of the Toronto game. Mm-hmm. Eric Rometty was pushing forward. Kevin Kratz was the one sitting deep. And it's Rometty who created the penalty for Joseph Martinez by pushing forward and pushing the game. He was kind of bossing the game in the second half. I didn't know he'd bring that to the table. It's a great signing.
So do you, like, you've got me excited with this trade deadline thing. Mm-hmm. I love transactions in sports. Love, love, love them. And obviously at the NBA trade deadline, popcorn's popping. It's nuts.
Uh-huh.
This baseball deadline, and by the way, it started like 6 weeks out, and the moves continued all the way up to the deadline. The moves have continued after the non-waiver MLB trade deadline. So do you think, and so you've got me intrigued because, like, I'm worried about no Garza, no Nagby, no this, no that. Why don't we make a trade? Why don't we move some assets and get some help in here so we can win the damn championship? So you've got me very excited. You've got me very intrigued with this trade deadline talk in MLS. Bottom line, at the end of the day, are we going to get help on this roster, in your opinion?
I think so. It might not happen today. The one thing to keep in mind is you can sign a free agent through the roster freeze, which is September 14th at midnight. So you've got a little bit of time. If you want to go back to a guy like Sonia, if he's still a free agent that time, you could sign him then. You could sign a domestic free agent at that point. But you can't make a trade after today. You can't make a transfer signing after today. 1 a.m. is the deadline. I think we make a move.
Is it good that they have a week off to sort of not lick their wounds, but just get healthier and get ready for a stretch run against Columbus?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is just getting healthy. You know, you get Ambrose a little bit closer. You get Zizo a little bit closer, even though those two guys, it's questionable. Getting Garza closer, I think, is a big key. And being able to figure out, you know, what you have internally, because there are free agents out there. If you don't get a deal today in a trade, you have a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But you have George Bello, who is a 16-year-old left back who has been injured this season at times. But you don't want to push a 16-year-old too fast. But he has the talent. And long-term, he's the left back for this team. He's that good. Is he ready now? I don't know. That's a big ask.
I love a good controversy. I love a good brouhaha. Super quick. End of the match, the red card. What was it? About 15 seconds. What'd you see there?
Mavinga pie-faced Leandro Gonzalez Pires. Just open hand, pushed him in the face. It was a stupid decision because now he's out for the next game, maybe more. There have been some questions about Almiron, his involvement. Larinowicz was trying to walk him away. I didn't see anything that Almiron did.
John, he pie-faced him.
He did. I'll be honest. The meathead in me was waiting for Atlanta United just to pounce and just start knocking people out.
You don't want to pick up those red cards and the suspensions. You got to be careful.
Tell him, Jason.
That's why you need an enforcer like me on the sidelines. Go out there and move some people around.